Galatians and the Godhead. The attributes of God. Chapter 3, the knowledge of God. God is omniscient. He knows everything. Everything possible. Everything actual. All events, all creatures of the past, the present, and the future. He is perfectly acquainted with every detail in the life of every being in heaven and earth and in hell. He knoweth what is in the darkness, Daniel 2, verse 22. Nothing escapes his notice. Nothing can be hidden from him. Nothing is forgotten by him. Well, may we say with the psalmist, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Psalm 139, verse 6. His knowledge is perfect. He never errs. Never changes, never overlooks anything. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Hebrews 4, verse 13. Such is the God with whom we have to do. You know my downsitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You compass my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you will know it altogether. Psalm 139, verses 2 to 4. What a wondrous being is the God of Scripture. Each of his glorious attributes should render him honorable in our esteem. In apprehension of his omniscience, we ought to bow in adoration before him. Yet how little do we meditate upon this divine perfection. Is it because the very thought of it fills us with uneasiness? How solemn is this fact? Nothing can be concealed from God. For I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Ezekiel 11, verse 5. Though he be invisible to us, we are not so to him. Neither the darkness of night, the closest curtains, nor the deepest dungeon can hide the sinner from the eyes of omniscience. The trees of the garden were not able to conceal our first parent. No human eye beheld Cain murder his brother, but his maker witnessed his crime. Sarah might laugh derisively in the seclusion of her tent, yet Jehovah heard it. Achan stole a wedge of gold and carefully hid it in the earth, but God brought it to light. David took great pains to cover up his wickedness, but the all-seeing God sent one of his servants to say to him, Thou art the man. To writer and listener also is it said, Be sure your sin will find you out. Number 32, verse 23. Men would strip deity of his omniscience if they could. What a proof that the carnal mind is enmity against God. Romans 8, verse 7. The wicked do as naturally hate this divine perfection as much as they are naturally compelled to acknowledge it. They wish there might be no witness of their sins, no searcher of their hearts, no judge of their deeds. They seek to banish such a God from their thoughts. They consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness, Hosea 7, verse 2. How solemn is Psalm 90, verse 8. Good reason has every Christ rejecter for trembling before it. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins, in the light of your countenance. But to the believer, the fact of God's omniscience is a truth fraught with much comfort. In times of perplexity, he says with Job, But he knows the ways that I take, Job 23, verse 10. It may be profoundly mysterious to me, quite incomprehensible to my friends, but he knows. In times of weariness and weakness, believers assure themselves he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. Psalm 103, verse 14. In times of doubt and suspicion, they appeal to this very attribute, saying, Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24. in times of sad failure, when our actions have belied our hearts, when our deeds have repudiated our devotion, and a searching question comes to us, do you love me? We say as Peter did, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. John 21, verse 17. Here is encouragement to prayer. There is no cause to fear that the petitions of the righteous will not be heard, or that their tears will escape the notice of God, since he knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. There is no danger of the individual saint being overlooked amidst the multitude of supplicants who hourly present their petitions. For an infinite mind is as capable of paying the same attention to millions as if only one were seeking its attention. So, too, the lack of appropriate language, the inability to give expression to the deepest longing of the soul, will not jeopardize our prayers. For it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Isaiah 65, verse 24. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. Psalm 147, verse 5. God knows whatsoever has happened in the past in every part of his vast domains, and he is thoroughly acquainted with everything that now transpires throughout the entire universe. But he also is perfectly cognizant with every event, from the least to the greatest, that will happen in ages to come. God's knowledge of the future is as complete as his knowledge of the past and the present, because the future depends entirely upon him. Were it any wise possible for something to occur apart from either the direct agency or permission of God, then that something would be independent of him, and he would at once cease to be supreme. Now, the divine knowledge of the future is not a mere abstraction, but something inseparably connected with and accompanied by his purpose. God designed whatsoever shall yet be, and what he has designed must be effected. As his most sure word affirms, he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. Daniel 4, verse 35. Again, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Proverbs 19, verse 21. The wisdom and power of God being alike infinite, the accomplishment of whatever he has purposed is absolutely guaranteed. It is no more possible for the divine counsels to fail in their execution than it would be for the thrice holy God to lie. Nothing relating to the future is uncertain so far as the actualization of God's counsels are concerned. None of his decrees are left contingent either upon creatures or secondary causes. There is no future event which is only a mere possibility, that is, something which may or may not come to pass. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning, Acts 15, verse 18. Whatever God has decreed is inexorably certain, for he is without variableness or shadow of turning. James 1, verse 17. Therefore, we are told at the very beginning of that book, which unveils to us so much of the future, things which must shortly come to pass, Revelation 1, verse 1. The perfect knowledge of God is exemplified and illustrated in every prophecy recorded in his word. In the Old Testament, scores of predictions concerning the history of Israel were fulfilled to their minutest detail centuries after they were made. Scores more foretold the earthly career of Christ, and they too were accomplished literally and perfectly. Such prophecies could only have been given by one who knew the end from the beginning, whose knowledge rested upon the unconditional certainty of the accomplishment of everything foretold. In like manner, both Old and New Testaments contain many other announcements yet future. They too must be fulfilled, Luke 24, verse 44, because they were foretold by him who decreed them. It should, however, be pointed out that neither God's knowledge nor his cognition of the future, considered simply in themselves, are causative. Nothing has ever come to pass or ever will merely because God knew it. The cause of all things is the will of God. The man who really believes the scriptures knows beforehand that the season will continue to follow each other with unfailing regularity to the end of Earth's history. Genesis 8:22. Yet his knowledge is not the cause of their succession. So God's knowledge does not arise from things because they are or will be, but because he has ordained them to be. God knew and foretold the crucifixion of his Son many hundreds of years before he became incarnate. And this, because in the divine purpose he was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hence we read of his being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, Acts 2, verse 23. A word or two of application. The infinite knowledge of God should fill us with amazement. How far exalted above the wisest man is the Lord. None of us knows what a day may bring forth, but all futurity is open to his omniscient gaze. The infinite knowledge of God ought to fill us with holy awe. Nothing we do, say, or even think escapes the knowledge of him with whom we have to do. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 15, verse 3. What a curb this would be to us if we meditated upon it more frequently. Instead of acting recklessly, we should say with Hagar, Thou God seest me. Genesis 16, 13. The apprehension of God's infinite knowledge should fill a Christian with adoration. The whole of my life stood open to his view from the beginning. He foresaw my every fall, my every sin, my every backsliding, yet he fixed his heart upon me. Oh, how the realization of this should bow me in wonder and worship before him.